This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala al-ma'uthi rahmatillil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm 14 min shahri dhul qa'da 1445 al-muwafiq li 23 min shahri mayu 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we will continue from where we stopped last time. If you remember, we spent time on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء إلى آخر الآية. We dwell on this because of the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about the command that Allah سبحانه وتعالى gave Yahya ibn Zakariya. So after that also we followed that with the statement of the scholars about the benefit of reflection, you know, reflecting upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed around us, not in the sense of meditation, because we don't have this concept. It is taken from others, and also it's not useful. It's a religious practice. Yeah, we don't need it. You don't have a system whereby you sit down and keep quiet and keep thinking. We don't have this, yeah, because this is the beginning of negative thoughts. You're opening the door for these thoughts to come and disturb you. You get it? We have tangible, you know, realistic reflection on things you see, things you read. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell you about something and ask you to reflect, think deeply about the thing. So there's something in front of you, there's something you see, there's something you read about, there's something you know. But not just sitting down, thinking, doing nothing, holding your breath. You know, of course, that's to be the door being opened for the shaitan to attack. You know, that's why you see those ones, some of them, they will end up, you know, telling you that they're also messengers, they're also prophets, and they receive message also from hidden thing which nobody sees them except them. Yeah, because they're dealing with shaitan. So we don't have this, it's taken from other religion. And even subhanAllah, the owners of those religions, they're also not happy with what others are doing. One of them, as I said, he said, the thieves have taken this meditation from us. Yeah, they say it's a religious practice. So it's more than enough. It's not for us. We have tadabbur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never says we go for meditation. He says we go for tadabbur. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi waliyadhakara ulul albab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have sent down the Quran to you for the purpose of tadabbur. Yeah? Walaqad yassarna al-Quran lil-dhikri fahal min muddakir. Quran, the purpose of having Quran with us is the tadabbur. Afala yanzuruna ila al-ibli kayfa khuliqat. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask you to sit down and keep thinking deeply, but he says, look at a camel. You know, study what is camel. You know, you see a lot of amazing things. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. You know, camels can tolerate staying without drinking water, as they say, for 40 days. I don't think that is an animal that can do that, and also can resist the high temperature. Yeah? That's why they can go the desert, you know, for long. And also they have some additional lens in their eyes. You know, if you are traveling on a desert, from time to time you encounter a storm. And it's a dust, right? And gobar. When it comes, for sure it's going to affect your eyes. That's why the rider of a camel, when they travel, what do they have? The telephone. They have to do that. You know, otherwise they will get into trouble. You know, camels don't need this. SubhanAllah, when the thing comes, there's something that would, you know, it can still see, But there is a lens between them and the eyes, so the dust would not affect the eyes. SubhanAllah. So many things, you know. And a camel can eat thorn. The way you eat rice, they eat thorn, and you don't see them bleeding. Very strange, you know, animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. You know, all of these are things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and He placed them around us and asked you to look at them and ponder. You get it? I just want us to understand that we do have a system which is a very beneficial system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. We don't need to go to others. But unfortunately, we lost, you know, trust in our religion and what is given to us. Salaamu alaikum. Please reduce your voice, please. So, things which we see and we focus on them. We do have a system. I don't call it alternative. No, it is already there. It's not alternative. And this is also a mistake when you tell somebody, don't do this, he will tell you, what is the alternative? Islamically, we're not supposed to provide alternatives whenever you tell somebody not to do something. It's very wrong and bad mentality for a person to ask you for alternative, for him to stay away from what is wrong. You get it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't come and tell them, don't do this because you have alternative. No. As a Muslim, it's part of our iman to submit to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do. You don't ask for alternative. And do we have alternative? Yes, we do. Right? Because the life of a believer is not empty. Get it? Yeah, that's why when you deal with matters of psychology, you know, if you are a psychologist, you don't need to tell people to go and do additional things rather than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to do because they fill their schedule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتِينَ الزَّكَاءَ وَأَطِئِنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. You know, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not need to tell them there is alternative. Don't go out of your houses, you know, unless if you need to go out. And when you go out, don't go in a state of tabarruj. Type, if she stays home, what does she do? Does she have a job at home? Yes. She does have a job at home. Actually, very heavy responsibility. Yeah. You get it? But unfortunately, we don't have that good life, which is healthy life, you know. This is just about eating, drinking, having sexual relationship and sleeping. This is unhealthy life. If you go to see what Islam, you know, prescribed for us, male and a female, there is no sister who is free. Give Allah. She's not free because she prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at home from time to time. House activities are enough to fill her time. She will never be depressed. Yeah, that's why the old people, they're not depressed. They're not depressed. Only in our time, with the kind of modern kind of life, you know, you get sisters being depressed. She has to go out to remove stress. In the past, they don't have this. Okay, I'm not addressing going out right or wrong. No, I'm just saying, why do we get depressed just by staying in one place, especially for the sisters, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them in a way naturally they can accommodate this. A brother has to go out because he has somebody under his custody. These people, they need to survive. Do you get it? Why if I stay home, I get depressed? Because I don't understand Islam correctly. To see it in the sense of, you know, something that filled my schedule. Something that fills my schedule. I don't see Islam in that way. That's why, as I said, when Corona comes, what happened to many people? Depressed, a lot of psychological problems, you know, a lot of mental illness. Yeah, how long were we kept at home? 2 years. And trust me, wallahi, it was an opportunity, you know, although it's a calamity that happens to us, it's very sad for us to be in that way. But at the same time, it was an opportunity that was open, but unfortunately, we are not ready to grab it. The husband and wife get separated, every day fighting, because this is the first time in their life where they meet and stay a longer time. In the normal circumstances, he walks, she walks. They never met except a few moments at home. But now he has to stay with her 24 hours. She also has to stay with him 24 hours. The true image of each one of them will be revealed. And they're not familiar with that kind of life. Simple, tiny mistakes, nobody will be happy with that. You know? Whereas a smart person, he will see it as an opportunity. Wait a minute, actually, throughout my life, every day when I go out, I come back very late. Never give chance to my kids that much, except a little. My wife never have time with me that much. You know, we stay, but I was wishing to have more, you know. So now you have to stay, you know, stay with her. That's a very good opportunity to strengthen that relationship. Wallah. Wallah, trust me, when it comes, I don't feel corona. I mean, in terms of life is different, I never felt it. Yeah, we are happy, you know, to see people celebrating the day the government says we can go out. Come out, the kids are playing with the motorcycle and everyone, you know. The street is full of sound, everyone is happy. But at the same time, at home, you don't feel depressed. Why? Because you provide a system in the house where everyone is engaged. Yeah. Games, you know, studies, you know, even this channel of the, what do you call, Tarbiyah, for the kids, it was introduced actually during the corona, you know. Yeah, staying at home, series of classes. In a very friendly way. So you get to know your family more than before. That's why Sheikh Al-Islam bin Taymiyyah has a very nice statement. He says, "Mada yafa'alu aduwwi bi?" He said, "What my enemy does with me?" He said, "My enemy, I mean, lost hope in disturbing me. What can they do with me?" He said, "If they put me in jail," he said, "that's a good opportunity for me, actually. I have been looking for," because he spent his life with people, every time people are taking his time. He said, "being in jail is a very good opportunity to have privacy. And now I have my own time to revise." Of course, those people who took him to jail, they will not be happy with this. To see him enjoying, chilling, it's like there is nothing. Because jail is a punishment, right? Person is supposed to be depressed and all of these things, you know. But they see him not to regret, right, and converting, and the worst is he convert jail into school. Yeah. And the wrongdoers from and those authorities, they were not happy with that, because some systems support crimes. Yeah, so he convert to jail. They even mentioned, wallahu alam, people used to commit crime to go back to the jail, to meet him. So, yeah, of course, the authority will not be happy with this. Okay, Allah, go out. Next time also he will say something which is not pleasing to some, they go and talk, and then they put him in jail. He said, "when they chase me out of the community," he said, "that's a chance to see other places." And subhanAllah, he says, "my Jannah is with me. It goes with me wherever I go." That's the meaning of what As-Sa'd he was saying, "kun ibn yawmik." Just live according to the circumstance you find yourself in. Just try to see, what can I do at this moment, you know. So what I want us to understand is that we do have alternative. You know, we don't call it alternatives, but we do have. Our schedule is full. A Muslim doesn't have free time. In some of the meaning of فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ, the scholar said, when you finish an activity, you move to the next one. That's your break. Yeah, I finish praying, I move to the next activity, which is to earn for my family. Is it an act of worship? Yes. Yeah, I take it as a hobby what I'm doing, but it's an act of worship. I'm tired, I feel pain, my body needs to relax, I go do exercise. to keep my health intact. Is that correct? Yes. If I have good intention, I will be rewarded for that. So we don't have, ستكون في ماليزيا انت الى الى الاحد بارك الله فيك ان شاء الله وعليكم السلام ورحمه الله So what I was trying to say is that we don't have free time to kill. Yeah? A Muslim doesn't have free time. And having free time is very wrong in the life of a believer. All of these thoughts and negative things that comes to your life, trust me, they are the result of being free. You know, some people watch images and they disturb them, right? Some people engage in this evil behavior of masturbation. Some people do this. All of these, you know, sickness that the Muslim community is also suffering from, trust me, it is because we have free time. If you're engaged, your brain is engaged, you don't have time to think about these things. So please do understand this correctly and spread it to others. So we have tadabbur, we don't have meditation. Yeah, we have tadabbur, we don't have meditation. And our Sharia is more than enough for us. Whatever you need is being given to us by the Sharia. Yeah. Allah says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. We have explained everything in detail. So after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ. So after mentioning those evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put around us that are leading us to believing in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that He is the only one who is supposed to be worshipped, Allah says, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّمْ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you have doubt in the accuracy and authenticity of that which we gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our slave here is referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have doubt in that which we gave him, meaning some of you think that this is not from Allah, it's from human being, Allah says, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّمْ مِثْلِهِ. Bring a surah, one surah like the Quran, something that looks like the Quran. So if you have doubt, you claim that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who is writing the Quran, you are the expert of the language, you have the ability and the capacity to write, you know, and to produce something in Arabic, why can't you do the same thing? Allah says we just need one surah. If you do that, then khalas, case closed. Right? Because if Quran is written by Rasulullah, and he is human being, another human beings also can produce something like that or even better. That's the challenge actually. If you claim that this is from human being, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or from somebody else, because they said, إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. He's been taught by somebody. Somebody's teaching him all of these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are the expert of the language. You also can come forward and bring something similar to one surah in the Quran. One surah. We don't want the whole Quran. One surah. There are different challenges Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Sometimes He asked for the whole Quran. And that was not in their ability. Allah asked for 10 surahs. That wasn't within their ability. Allah asked for one surah. That was also not within their ability. Why can't they produce Quran? Why can't they produce something similar to the Quran? Because they have no ability to do it. It is not because they don't want. Were they the expert of the language? Yes. Very, very strong in the language. And they actually used to be proud of being expert in the way they speak. If you want to be praised by the Arabs, you should be good in the language. If you want to be praised by the Arabs, you should be good in the language in those days. That's why the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ was the Quran, the biggest miracle he has. He has so many other miracles, but the biggest one is the Quran. Every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has never sent a prophet except that he sent along with that prophet enough signs and ayat that are, inshallah, enough to convince whoever is looking for the truth. Musa alayhi salam, what was his ayah? Huh? What was the ayah given to Musa alayhi salam? Asa. And Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتِ. He said 9 ayat. These are the main ones. Okay, 9 ayat. Uh-huh. Frogs. Locust. Blood. Lice. Frog. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ. Flood. والجرادة والقملة والضفادع والدم. آيات مفصلات. What else? The one you mentioned just now. عصا, the stick. And what else? The stick, which stick? The one that turns into snake. Okay, that's one. And the hand? What's the hand? We don't have hand. He put hand in his pocket or in his clothes and then he brings it, it becomes light. Huh? That's 7. 2 more. I know Adam is Adina from another. Whenever he mentioned one, you count 2. In the ayah, we have 5. Right? فَرْسَنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ. Flood. وَالْجَرَادَ. وَالْجَرَاد, locust. وَالْقُمَّلَ, the lice, there are those insects in there. وَالْضَفَادِعَ, the frogs. Wadama, blood, river turning into blood. These are 5. And the stick turning into, there is no snake, Adam, don't worry. And the stick turning into snake, right? And the hand, when he brings it out, it turns into a light. Next, the stick when he hit the sea, split into 2. Next, when he hit the rock, yeah. How many springs? 12. Do we get 9?
No.
And he has some others, but these are the main ones, the scholar said, the main ayat given to him as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتِنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتٍ. You know, Musa alayhi salam threw the stick, and then the stick turned into snake. The magicians, they came. Some says 80,000 magicians. Even if there are 8 magicians. They brought sticks and ropes. They threw them on the ground. What happened to them? They turned into snake.
They appeared as a
they appeared as?
As if they were snakes, but they weren't actually.
Yeah, but what do people see?
They see as if it's snakes.
It's just a symbol.
Yeah, I get it. Alhamdulillah, I love your aqidah so much, you know. I love your aqidah. But just say they turn into snake because this is what people see. However, this is just illusion. Illusion. Allah says, سَحَرُ أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَرْحَبُهُمْ. They did magic in the eyes of the people. وَاسْتَرْحَبُهُمْ. So the magic is there in that place. Whoever is in that place, he sees snakes. But realistically, they're not snakes. Musa alayhi salam, what did he see?
He also
sees snake. Yeah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِ خِيفَةً Musa. That fear in the heart started to emerge. You know. Why? Because he sees snake. If he sees sticks, of course he would never be scared of. Yeah. But there were snakes in front of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, لَا تَخَفْ. Why are you afraid of this? SubhanAllah, Allah, I love this. Everything in the Quran is beautiful. But this one is amazing, you know. Whenever we talk about magic, very sensitive topic. Everyone is scared, you know. Jinn, also everyone is scared. Look at how Allah SWT put it here. Musa was afraid of what is going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him, why the fear? Why? He says, innaka antal a'la. You're on top of them and you're afraid. You know, why? Subhanallah. It's like there is nothing. And this is actually how it is. Subhanallah.
What's that from computer?
Okay, so the what was I saying? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, why are you scared of them? Why? Because there is nothing going on there. It's just game being played, which shouldn't scare you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. Just throw that stick which was on your hand. And he has experience, actually. He had experience last time. Allah asked him to throw it. And then what happened? It turns into snake, so he sees that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, just throw your snake. Subhanallah, Allah says, تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٍ وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. Wallahi, this, every Muslim should understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why are you afraid of them? Just put your stick. It will do the job for you. Musa put his stick and in turn into, is it a snake? Real snake. Real one. Not imaginary, no, real snake. Because the one who created everything was the one who made it like that. It's a snake. Because Allah called it snake, so it's snake. No magic, no anything. It's a real snake. Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah says it will swallow everything they did. And that's exactly what happened. Huge snake and kept on taking what they do. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this beautiful, you know, statement. He says, تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. It will swallow that magic. You get it? إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٍ. Because what they're doing is nothing other than the plot of a magician. And this statement, which is to be written with the ink of, with the water of the eye, you know, not the ink of gold. He says, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. There is no way for a magician to succeed from whatever dimension he comes. And أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ. If you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't worry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the whole, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are to be in one place, to plot against you, and Allah is with you, there is no way for you to be affected. Allah says, وَهُوَ يَجِيرُ وَلَا يَجَرُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah protects. If He protects you, nothing can reach you. However, if He is looking for you, nowhere you can be protected. SubhanAllah. This is to put, you know, SubhanAllah, you know, strong, you know, relief in our heart. That as long as you're holding upon Allah, you shouldn't worry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in the cave of Hira, which cave? Whatever answer you give is wrong. Because I did not complete the question yet. So maybe I'm going to talk about Jibreel coming to him at that time, you know. When he was in the cave of Thawr during the Hijrah, right? The search reached that place, At-Talab. Abu Bakr said, Ya Rasulullah, if one of them is to just look down a bit down, he will see us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if there is nothing going on, he told him, Ya Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bi ithnayni Allahu thalithuhuma. What do you think of two people in a place? And the one who is with them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one is Allah. SubhanAllah. You can see the tumanina and the trust. And subhanAllah, they reached the place and they couldn't see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just want you to understand this, that holding upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only protection you have in this dunya. In the middle of life nowadays, so many obstacles, so many tragedy, wallahi, holding upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only protection you have. Be good. Yeah? Be good. Shaitan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi'izzatik, he said, I swear by your greatness, your power. He says, I will never let the children of Adam succeed. I will deviate them all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, no, except
the good ones. SubhanAllah. Allah told him, no, accept the good ones. He says, Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan.
My slaves, the good ones, there is no way for you to have power over them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded, you know, with this excellent, you know, conclusion. And it always is like that. He says, Wakafa bi rabbika wakila.
Your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the only one who is sufficient enough for you.
Wakil means protector, helper. It's enough that your protector is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda? Isn't it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sufficient enough for his slave? Wa yukhawifunaka billadhina min duni? And you let them scare you by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, they threaten the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. We will do this, you know. You will get affected by Lat wal Uzza and all of these things, you know. And you will receive the wrath of these idols. The Prophet ﷺ did not care. Doesn't care about their plot and the plot of their idols, if they can even plot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كَادُوا لَيَسْتَفِزُّونَكَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ لِيُخْرِجُوكَ مِنْهَا. These guys, he's talking about the Quraysh, the purpose of their movement is to see you getting out of this place, chasing you out of Makkah. لِيُخْرِجُوكَ مِنْهَا, so that they can take you out of Makkah. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا لَا يَلْبَثُونَ خِلَافَكَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They will also not be able to live in Makkah. Makkah will not be a suitable place for them to stay. You know, they will try to take you out of the place. He says, Makkah will not be a suitable place for them to stay. SubhanAllah, you see, if you go to the history, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did they take him out of Makkah? Salam. Did they take him out of Makkah or he goes by himself? No. They took him out of Makkah. Adam, if you go back to the history, you remember there's 10 people?
Wait.
Sabar. There was a plot against him, right? And also they were having a meeting, you know, and they have several options, but they have to choose one of them. Shaitan came and suggested the last one, the one that they chose. Number one is to kill him. They're very serious on that. They can't tolerate anymore. Number two is to chase him away. You get it? Number three, okay, it goes out of my brain. But they have several. Shaitan emphasized on the first one, but with modification, which is, if you kill him, the one who killed, he belongs to a tribe. Banu Hashim, since they are willing to go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and suffer with him, they are not Muslimin, but they agreed to go and support him. For 3 years, they didn't have food to eat, you know, but they agreed to support their brother, because they see somebody who is part of them. For sure, if somebody killed him, Banu Hashim would never keep quiet. They will fight back. And that's going to be tragedy amongst the Arabs. So they don't want this. But Shaitan told them, pick up 10 people. Each one of them should come from a tribe. Different tribe. All of them should hit him at once. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. If they do that, then Banu Hashim cannot fight all the Arabs. They have to give up. That was the plot. So they went. You get it? Naturally, if somebody comes to one of us with this idea, what are you going to do? Run. Are you going to stay in that place? No, you will run. You will go out. You have to leave. That's exactly what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led him to live a natural life, normal life. Allah can just kill all of them, you know. Tell them die. They will die instantly. But he did not. Allah wants things to go naturally. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his house and was informed by those people, and Allah commanded him to leave. Get it, Adam? Allah commanded him to leave. So he left. If he stopped here, you might believe in what Adam is saying, he goes by himself. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never, never, never liked to go out of Makkah. That's why he said, he cried when he left Makkah. Look at Makkah, he cried. He says,
if not because of the fact that my people took me out of you, I will never go out. So that's mean they took him out. He says, if not because my people took me out of this place, he said, I will not go out of this place. And Waraka already told him, you're going to be chased away from this place. They will take you out of it. He says, "Our mukhrijiyahum, are they going to take me out of this place?" قال نعم لم يأتي أحد بمثل ما جئت به إلا عودي. Because nobody ever brought what you are going to be bringing to your people, except you find the people hating him. You also is just like one of those ones. And that's exactly what happened. So they took him out of the place. And what happened to them? Allah says, if they take you out of that place, they cannot stay also in that place. They will be the second one. And subhanAllah, we see in the history, they took him out of Makkah, and Allah took them out of the earth. They go on, they cannot live on the earth anymore. They die. All of them were killed during the Battle of Badr. At least the Prophet ﷺ has much simpler exit, right? To the place where he constructs a new government which saved the world. Iwallah. They used to live a life of animals. Rasulullah ﷺ united them. They became strong nations, you know, subhanAllah, because of the iman that he introduced to them. So back to Musa alayhi salam. Musa has his own, miracle that Allah SWT gave him. We call them ayat. Okay? Some scholars said that we don't call them mu'jizah, we call them ayat. But this is what the Sunnah and the Quran call them. وَلْقَدْ آتِنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتٍ. So Musa has his own miracle. And you get the point in concerning magic and the jinns, right? Live a normal life, seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't worry. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as long as Allah is on your side, there is no way for you to lose. No way for you to lose. Bi-idhnillah. Just put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the right thing. Isa alayhi salam, did he bring any miracle to his people? What was that? You know, because Musa brings something that looks like magic, right? But it's true, it's correct, it's haqiqah, not magic. Because his people are dealing magic. They're proud of being magician. You know, Isa alayhi salam, also his miracle. Did he bring any miracle? Ah, yeah, that's right. A lot, right? Huh? He brought? Somebody who died, Isa alayhi salam, asked him to stand up and he, bi-idhnillah, bi-idhnillah. And he will take a clay, make clay pigeon and blow, it will be alive, bi-idhnillah, you know. Every single part Allah will say, bi-idhnillah, so that nobody will come and say this, Isa is doing this. Isa never did that. Allah is the one who is doing. He just a means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him those things so that Bani Israel will understand that he is not Allah and he is not a liar. He's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? So Isa has something that, confront what the people are proud of having in his time. Was that enough? Yeah. Very good enough to the honest people who are with him. But the Jew, no, it wasn't enough for them. That's why they plotted against him, which led to his ascent. Right? Allah SWT took him up. Yeah. I want you to know who you're dealing with nowadays. Whatever you see them doing, you understand who they are. Reading history is good. You Allah, reading history is good. I don't see anything new. What these guys are doing nowadays on earth, nobody's safe from them. I'm telling you, I don't see anything new. Read the history. See the way they live with their prophets and messengers and their life. You see the same thing is being repeated. That is nothing new. That's why history is excellent. And the poet says, وَمَنْ رَأَ التَّارِيخَ فِي صَدْرِهِ أَضَافَ أَعْمَارًا إِلَىٰ عُمْرِهِ. If you read history and understand it correctly, you're going to add more ages to your age. This is really perfect. Because you will be following the easiest and the simplest way because you know where to go and succeed. You don't do experiment in your life because somebody did before. So you learn about the principles used by those who succeeded, you use those principles. easy life. And you learn about the principles used by those people who fail. You avoid those ones. You also will not fail. If you use the same thing, you will fail because you're doing the experiment they were doing. They fail, you're also going to fail. And that's one of the benefit of being part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we are the last one. Everybody else came before us, so we see their life. Yeah, we know who failed and we know who succeeded. It's just up to us to study and adopt the good one into the system we're living in, then we will succeed. Is that clear? Okay. Hud alayhi salam, does he have miracle? Or is his miracle?
The storm.
The storm, right? Okay. No, they don't say the storm. The storm came as a punishment. Miracle is something that shows to the people. Miracle is something that you show to the people. Ayah, something that you show to them, which led them to believe that this person is saying the truth, is a prophet. No, that's Saleh. Yeah. Saleh. Huh? Which means he doesn't have. I just want fatwa from Yusuf. It is not mentioned from in the Quran, that means he doesn't have miracle. Allahu alam. I like this beautiful answer. Allahu alam. Is he right? Yes, Allahu alam. But is there anyone who knows whether he has miracle or not? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? Say yes. Yes. How do we know? Because he says, "Ma min al-anbiya inabi." See, there was no prophet that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that Allah gave him ayah. He says no prophet came without ayah. So that means Yunus, Hud has ayah, for sure. I remember Al-Hanafi in his Sharh of the Aqidah Tahawiyah, he says no prophet came without ayah. He says some of these prophets, the ayah is so hidden in the way some people might say there is no ayah for this prophet. This prophet doesn't bring any ayah. He says like Hud alayhi salam. And he says, if you look at the ayah given to the prophet of Allah, Hud, it might be one of the greatest and the biggest ayat given to a prophet. But it is so hidden. Okay, thanks. But it is so hidden, right? So what is this ayah? If you read Surah to Yunus, no, Surah to Hud, the Surah. Prophet himself. Surah Hud. Hud alayhi salam was talking to his people. He says to them, he says, "Inni bari'u mimma tushrikun." You know, those people, how small are they? People of Hud? Very, very small size, right? We're a bit bigger than them, right? I like this surprise, you know. That means you read history. Please, that part of the history, right? Are they big? Yeah, that's why when I call them small size, you are surprised. What is he talking about, right? I hope you're surprised it's in own position, that you have the correct knowledge, right? You're not just surprised out of nowhere. Anyway, so people in the past, during time of Hud alayhi salam, are they big? Yes. They're very huge in terms of size. Very big. You know, because they're closer to the time of Adam alayhi salam. And people in that time, they're really big. Even Ibrahim is tall, which is way, way back, you know, after Hud and Saleh. But he's very tall. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him in a dream, in the hadith of Ru'ya. He says, I saw Ibrahim alayhi salam. I saw a man. I asked Jibreel, who's this person? He told me, this is Ibrahim. And he says, it's not easy to see his head. It's very tall. In Jannah, how are we going to be? Yeah, 60 dirha. One of our scholars said, because this size, you know, look at Hamad, it's very little, right? He said, Jannah is too much for him. Right? Oh, even the baby also said yes. So he said, one of our scholars is saying, Jannah is too much, the enjoyment is too much for us. And I just found it interesting, but Allahu alam with the wisdom behind doing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will be at the size of Adam alayhi salam. And the image of? The look will be Yusuf alayhi salam. You know Yusuf, right? Salam. Did you ever? That one is very handsome. In the way the sisters next to him, they when they saw him, they forgot they have knife on their hands. They kept on cutting. You know? Imagine something that takes away their sense. They couldn't sense the pain. Cut. He said, "Qatta'na." That's me. It doesn't happen at once. You know, cut and then feel the pain and stop. No. Keep cutting. Why? Because the brain is too much occupied. Can you imagine how much, you know, handsome is this Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Question. Is it true that we have these lines in the hand because, I'm just asking, because some people say the reason why we have line, you know, like this, is because those sisters, they can't eat it. Anyway, so there used to be a big size, right? The people of Hud alayhi salam, they were so big. That's why they used to say, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa." Nobody is stronger than us. Subhanallah, these giant creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine the whole city, except a few who accepted him, the whole city, the leaders, the army, everyone. One single person was standing in front of them, telling them, I have disconnected myself from anything you're doing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the shirk you're committing, I'm not with that. And he was talking in this very straightforward way. And he told them, "Fakiduni jamian thumma la tunzirun." He said, "I dare any one of you to touch me. Go and plot and do whatever you want. And I dare any one of you to approach me." Subhanallah, the scholar said, to have one single person challenging the whole city to use their power and strength, if they think they are, they used to say, "Wana ashaddu minna quwwa," who is stronger than us? We can do whatever we want. So this Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is standing in front of all of them, telling them that, "I dare any one of you to come and touch me." Were they able to do so? He finished his speech. Nobody was able. They hate what he's doing. Yeah. They hate what he's doing. But at the same time, they couldn't do anything. Subhanallah, the scholar said, this itself is a sign, ayah given to him. Anyone who has common sense will say, these people, they break whatever stands on their way. How come one person is telling them, "Come and touch me," and nobody is making a move? Is that ayah? Yes. That's why no prophet is being left without a sign. All of them. Until the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him how many miracles? A lot. Don't you ever think that the ayah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is only the Quran? No, he has a lot of miracles. You get it? I remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanAllah, this is a very painful moment. Very painful moment. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was beaten by some of the useless people in the environment. They injured him. And it was a very sad moment and humiliated in a situation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to a place depressed. SubhanAllah, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. He told him, "Ya Rasulullah, what happened?" SubhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he said, "They beat me up. So Jibreel told him, "Don't worry." He said, "Do you see that tree?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Just call it." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the tree. It came. And then Jibreel told him, "Tell it to go back." The tree went back. So subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He told him, "It's enough for me." That's why You see, this is one of the reasons why we don't succeed. Because we're living in a time where even to mention the sunnah of the Prophet is an offense. You Allah. Living in the time you tell people to follow Rasulullah is an offense. And the Prophet said, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. You Allah, the only path to success and to guidance and to good life is the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, whatever difficulty you can face in life, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced worse than that. And he wasn't doing that for money. They gave him everything. They told him, we can give you a good wife if you want. We can give you wealth. We can make you a leader. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is not the reason why I'm making my da'wah. They cause him to bleed in Ta'if. They do everything against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Jibreel alayhi salam, together with the angel of mountain, proposed that these people should be treated, you know, in the way they deserve. Aqsimu billah, they deserve. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the worst in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is somebody who was killed by a prophet he killed a prophet. And these people, just because he told them worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stoned him. And he bled a lot. When chance was given to him to take revenge, subhanallah, look at ulul himma and good hope and love in seeing people being guided. He said, no, I don't want this. Not because he's thinking about those people who, you know, throw stone on him. He said, no, if they reject me today, inshallah, Allah will bring out of their descendants somebody who will worship him. Shubu'ud nazar. He's not even thinking about them. He wants, if they don't accept him, you know, they don't accept him, meaning he's not going to give up. Because he hoped that inshallah from their descendants somebody will accept. That's why, wallahi, the least you can do for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever his name is being mentioned. And trust me, if you want to succeed, make sure that your life is based on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Jibreel asked him to call the tree, and it came, the tree came to him. In another occasion, Jabir said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wanted to relieve himself. In that place, there was no toilet, no bathroom. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir said, in front of my eyes, he went to a place and he found two small trees. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dragged one of them. He says, Inqadi ala barakatillah. He said, come with me by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he came out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took the other one also. It came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to the place where he wanted. He fixed them, he put them like this, to cover him, to make a shade for him. I mean, cover hijab. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieved himself and he took them back to their own place. Anas ibn Malik said, there was a time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his companion, and they don't have water. They need water to make wudu and to drink. SubhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent some people to go and get water. They found that woman who was mushrika. Later on, she advised her people to accept Islam. The Prophet, they told her, please help us to come with us to the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, the one who changed the religion of his tribe, they said, the one that you're talking about, the one that you meant. They did not say what she said, but they said, the one that you meant, come with us. So she went with the companions. SubhanAllah, they took the water that she has. She has a little amount of water. And she told them, please, help me, don't take this water, because between me and this water is, you know, she has to go several kilometers for her to get it. So she's going back to her community with the water, and now they're going to take it from her. What can she do? Nothing. So she begged them. They said, no, don't worry, just come with us. SubhanAllah, they went. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can I have the water? They gave it to him. He put his hand inside. Anas ibn Malik says, wallahi, we saw water pouring from between his fingers. There were around 300 people. Everyone take what he needs, you know, and they still have the balance of that water as if they don't touch anything. And subhanAllah, the balance of the space she has in that bag, they fill it with food. You know, they don't reduce anything. We just use the water as a base. And they gave her all of those gifts. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last example I give is the example of Jabir. During the battle of Ahzab, he realized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hungry because he had to put rock on his stomach. So he went to his wife. He said, my dear wife, do we have any food? She said, yes, we have little. This small sheep and a little bit of dough that we can use to make some bread. So he said, because I want to provide it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, no problem. Just go and invite Rasulullah together with two or three people. But tell him, we have only for two or three people. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he whispered, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we have food at home, but please come with only two or three people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised up his voice. He said, people, Jabir is inviting you for a feast. He called it Walima. They went to the house and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Jabir, please, when you go, tell your wife she shouldn't do anything until I come. She should not start cooking until I come. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and he asked them to bring the flour. He made dua in it and the meat they have, and he told them to go and cook. Subhanallah, in front of their eyes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking 10 people to come. Each one of them has to eat until he gets full. That food, which is supposed to be enough for three, but now all of them, in some narration, were kanu alfan, they were 1,000 people. All of them ate to their full. That's why the ayat given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many. There are books written about this, the mu'jizat in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ayat in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're very amazing. One of these ayat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, you know, we have this weather forecast, right? You know, which might be right based on probability and signs that we have. It might not happen the way they are expecting. That's why in the Muslim place they will say, according to what we see, according to the knowledge, it might happen like this if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. They will say if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with the companions one day, and he told them, there is going to be in a moment wind. And you guys should stay here. Nobody is allowed to move from this place. SubhanAllah, one of them refused to listen. So he moved from that place where the Prophet ﷺ told them not to move. And the wind came and took him and hit one of the mountains with him. Rasulullah ﷺ told them, the wind, a very strong wind is going to come. And stay here. If you stay here, nothing will happen to you. But that person did not listen. And he got into trouble because of that. However, the biggest miracle given to the Prophet ﷺ was the Quran. It's miraculous by nature. And we believe that the Arabs in those days, they couldn't produce the Quran. That's why they failed to meet the challenge. It wasn't because they don't want to do. Because that is the difference between I don't want to do, but I have the ability to do it. And also, I cannot do. I'm incapable of doing. The Arabs, they were incapable of doing it. How do we know this? Because they suffer. You know, the existence of the Prophet ﷺ caused them a lot of suffering. Suffering why? Because they build their life upon injustice and sucking the blood of others. And the Prophet ﷺ told them, this cannot be tolerated in normal human life. Sisters are useless. They are none other than properties, right? You know, they're useless. They are none other than properties. The one that lives amongst them is supposed to be treated as a property. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. Give them the full right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created them, gave them. They never enjoy life. Good life. Go read the history and see. Sisters never enjoy good life. Except when Islam exists in a place. You get it? That's why nowadays when they don't want to go with Islam, anyone who wants to live her own life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave her alone. Go and see the level of depression and stress and being snatched by criminals from everywhere. The slaves, they have no right. You know, the children have no right. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, An-nasu sawasiyah. The Quraysh will never agree with this. The system is built upon riba. He said, there is no riba. The first riba I cancel is the riba of my uncle, Al-Abbas. You get it? And he told them, all of these idols that you guys are worshipping, they are false and useless, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. They have 360 idols around the Kaaba. He says, all of them are useless. You have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Quraysh, are they happy with him? No, they're not. And he is harvesting in the community, you know. Every day you have people accepting Islam. They are not happy with that. So they boycotted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tried to kill him. They killed some of his companions. And don't forget, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them always, if you believe I'm lying, just produce something like the Quran. You are the expert of the language. Bring something like it and case closed. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to go through these harshness, you know. They went to his uncle. They tried to convince the uncle. The uncle doesn't want to, you know, do anything about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself also. We give you wealth, we give you sisters, we give you this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejected all of them. And that wasn't enough. They plotted against him to kill him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam escaped, ran away to Medina. That wasn't enough. They followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. They lost 70 people among the top people in the city, you know. Almost all the leaders were killed during the Battle of Badr, except a few. Battle of Uhud also, they lost a lot. Around 36 people they lost. Battle of Ahzab, they lost some people, and they couldn't get what they wanted. There was no battle where they ever won. Any battle they engaged with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were losing. Don't forget, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking them, why do you need to do this? Just produce something like the Quran and the case closed. Do you think logically, if they are able to do it, they will agree to go through all of these hardship, losing their people? They will never. They want the peace with him. They came to him. They tried to beg him to stop preaching Islam, but he can't. Yeah, because there is no way for life to continue like this. The only one who is benefiting is the leaders, doing the wrong thing, you know, living at the expense of others. So that's why, if you look at the history itself, you conclude that the Arabs were not able to produce something like the Quran, or even one surah amongst the surah of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't because they don't want to do. No, it was because they cannot do. And subhanAllah, if the Arabs in those days were not able to meet the challenge, for sure the Arabs of today cannot meet the challenge. That's why when you see the criticism amongst those people who think they have Arabic language, saying that in the Quran there are akhta' lughawiyya. Yeah. Somebody was saying that there are grammatical error in the Quran, but subhanAllah, even how to read the Quran, he doesn't know. And he's the one who is questioning the Quran. Even how to read it, he doesn't know. Yeah. And they introduced also recently a surah. Right? Very funny. Kids are laughing, you know. When they, yeah.
They try to make a surah.
They try to make. Kids are laughing when they hear that. So they have a predecessor. Who was their predecessor? Musaylimah al-Kadhab. That guy also said he has also Quran. Which Quran you have? Ya Kadhab. He says he has Surah Al-Fil. He has another surah also, Surah Al-Difda. Alhamdulillah, I did not remember that surah. But the Surah Al-Fil, unfortunately, I still remember that one. What is his Surah Al-Fil? Oh, you memorize. He memorized the Quran of Musaylimah. And subhanAllah, so funny, even his people also make mockery on him after this. Yeah. He told them, we never believe that you're stupid or useless until this moment. You know, our Surah Al-Fil, how is it? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Full of lessons, small in size, but full of lessons. People reflect. Because whoever read the history will understand that, yes, there is a big message here. But his surah, trust me, even the kids after finishing, they will be asking him, sir, what is the moral of this? You know, al-filu mal-filu, wa ma adraka mal-filu, lahu dhanabun tawilu, ala qasiru, wa khurtumun tawilu. feel elephant, elephant. What do you know about elephant? It is an animal that has a very long trunk but a small tail.
This is like self-pad, you need to...
Anyway, so he tried to meet the challenge, but fortunately he lost. And he has to lose, Iwallah, because he's standing, you know, trying to meet the challenge, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set up, right? To compare his word with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where he became Udhuka. Question, this challenge, is it still on? Yeah, still on. Ila yawmil qiyamah, until the day of judgment. Iwallah, Quran is amazing. Yeah, learn Arabic. I really urge you to learn Arabic language. Quran is amazing. When you read Quran, you will enjoy reading, subhanAllah. There are places, subhanAllah, when you read, you yourself, you will understand why some of the Arabs, they are not Muslim, when the Quran is being read to them, they make sujood. Get it? They said somebody made sujood when he heard a reciter reciting the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّةً. Very beautiful way of putting words. Allah says, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ. This way of constructing word, خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّةً, Arabs are not speaking like this. This man said, I believe this cannot come from a human being. And this is from the Badia, a Bedouin. This is Quran. They mentioned about one of the Bedouin also. They said he heard somebody reading the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, والسارق والسارقات فقطعوا أيديهما جزاء بما كسبا نكالا من الله. Say السارق, male thief, and a female thief. Allah says, cut off their hands. He says, جزاء بما كسبا نكالا من الله. This is a جزاء, result of what they did, as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that man says, Wallahu ghafur rahim. Wassariq wassariqat faqta wa aydihuma jaza'an bima kasaba nakala min Allah. Wallahu ghafur rahim. Is there anything wrong? Yes. But they said, according to that story, this Bedouin, he did not know this ayah. You know, but you know, these are the original Arabs, right? They focus, you know, they enjoy the language. So he was enjoying the way the verse is coming, but then the end says, Wallahu ghafur rahim. Every conclusion you see in the ayah, it is connected to the beginning of the ayah. It has relation, very strong relation to what Allah SWT is mentioning to you. That conclusion is related to it. Any ayah. That's why when that man concluded the ayah by saying, Wallahu ghafur rahim, this Bedouin told him, are you sure this is the word of Allah? Because it doesn't match. Yeah. He said, yeah, this is the Quran. He said, no, I don't think so. Go and check. He said, the man checked, and then he found the correct one is, Wallahu Azizun Hakim. You see the difference, big gap between Aziz and Ghafur. When he read it, Wallahu Azizun Hakim, the Bedouin said, he said, yeah, now it worked. It makes sense. He says, because if he is Ghafur Rahim, why he cuts the hand? You know, he said, bring him a cut of his hand because Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Ghafur Rahim means, tell him not to do that again, you know, and does it. But Allah said, cut off his hand, Wallahu Azizun Hakim. He says, فَلَمَّا عَزَّ حَكَمَ فَعَدَلْ فَقَطَ. SubhanAllah, this is the peak of justice, to cut off the hand of a thief. Which one is stronger? Killing him or cutting? No, wait. Don't answer first. Which one will have more impact in the community, to kill or to cut off the hand? Not kill?
Because he will walk around town and people will see
that. People will see that. May Allah love you. Yes, that's true. Yeah. I know places where they kill if somebody steals. We're told about some places when somebody steals, not just, you know, killing him, they burn him. They put tire on him and put petrol and they burn. And still, to my knowledge, that used to be one of the worst places. It never stopped people from doing what they're doing. But how is it possible? History tells us that wherever you cut off the hand, people stop the theft. Just this one. And you're going to live a very peaceful life for ages without having cases like this. Trust me, you're going to cut off only a few. And then the case will close. And remember, in the time of Omar ibn Abdulaziz, the governor in Mosul, he told him, he said, Omar assigned, appointed him to be the governor in Mosul. So he sent a message to Omar ibn Abdulaziz. He told him that people here, they are really bad. And I don't think there is something that can stop them from stealing. So Omar ibn Abdulaziz told him, okay, what do you mean? What do you want me to do? He said, I propose we should intensify the punishment. We should increase it. Umar ibn Abdulaziz told him, no, Allah asked you to cut off the hand. Stick to that. He said, no, it will not work. He says, no, Allah says, cut off the hand, stick to that. And subhanAllah, unwillingly, he doesn't want to accept that. He wants to add. But then since the government, the high authority told him, don't add, he cannot add. So he kept it like that. And subhanAllah, they said within the period of 2 years that Umar was leading the Muslim community, there was no case of theft in that community. It stopped completely. That's why they said, Adabu huwa littiba, right? To follow, not to bring something in your own way. That's the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do this, you do it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. Yeah, we modify, that's why we don't see the fruit, and then we blame Islam. We say it doesn't work, right? Yeah, some of us who are too much conventional, they will tell you, no, it doesn't work. This one doesn't work. This one doesn't work. Wallahi, this is kadhib. It's a lie. There is no way for the wahy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to work in fixing the community. And that's the only way we have. But it's just up to us to apply it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, not in our own way. If you do it in your own way, of course it will not work. But do it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So this is Quran. Quran is full of miracle. Naturally is a miracle, and it is something that cannot be imitated. As I said, this is the biggest miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the challenge remains. Insha'Allah, in the next class, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, we will translate the balance of the ayah and move forward, insha'Allah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, yes. Wa-alaikum as-salam. That was.
If you observe in the Quran, every time Allah mentions Thamud, He will always mention the fact that they lived in a mountain. وَكَانُوا يَنْحِتُونَ مِنْ جِبَالِ الْبَارِينَ So is there any munasabah?
Yeah, because this is the place where they are located. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created people, and every people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in a place for wisdom. You get it? Thamud live in that place. And their predecessors also, they are not far from that place. That's why they inherited from Ad. You get it? They inherited from the Ad. So that was the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them. You get it? Up to date, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? Where was Adam? Where did Adam land? Some said in India, right? Yeah. Some the Sri Lankans also they still have the footprint of Adam alayhi salam. Yeah. And another opinion says Jeddah, right? Another opinion says Arafah, right? Yeah, the funniest one that I have is the one that says Adam was in Jeddah and Hawa was she was sent to India. That's why India has a lot of perfumes and Is that the heritage of Ahmad in India? Anyway, the best is Allahu Alam, unless if you find it in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, otherwise Allahu Alam. But we for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in one place. We have only one Adam. But how is it possible we have his descendants, some in Malaysia, some in Saudi Arabia, some in Thailand, some in Pakistan, you know? Alhamdulillah, we recognize Thailand, right? Anyway, you go. There is a country called this Seychelles. That country is like one dot in the middle of the sea. who took them to that place? You know, we still have enough space, Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed them in that place. He decreed that life is going to exist there. You get it? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing this type of people and putting them in this place? Allahu Akbar. Yeah, but this is how the system works in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for every single people a place to live in. There are people who are living in ice, right? Yeah. And they have food to eat.
Can you finish the story where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called the tree, and when the tree returned to him, can you continue the story because you did not finish it?
Which one? The one that Jibreel asked him to?
Yes, because
no, I said Jibreel
that, tell
him
that was Taif
to.
Also?
No. Jibreel asked him to bring the tree, and he brought it, and he asked him to tell it to go back. He went back. So that's why Jibreel came to him. To just give him something different that will catch his attention, to remove the stress. You get it? That's why when the Prophet ﷺ said, he saw the tree coming, he smiled. You know, the way the tree is coming to the Prophet ﷺ, and the way it went back to its own position, the Prophet ﷺ smiled. And he looked at Jibreel and he said, this is enough for me.
Oh.
You get it? He said, this is enough for me, Jibreel. Yeah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him just to give comfort. And subhanAllah, you see, stress, anyone who tells you that stress can only be removed by the advice of the psychologist, this is wrong and fake. You get it? The best and the only remedy for stress is going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope everyone will understand this. The only remedy for stress and depression is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever is not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way for this person to be living a life of ease. Let me tell you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, so that you will know that yes, it's very dangerous for us to have a statement like that you need to go to somebody, you know, that will physically treat you, you know, before the tawakkul or something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yashrah sadrahu lil Islam. Why sadr? Where's the source of stress and depression? Heart. Right? Salam. The heart, right? Yeah. The heart. Then it's the body is going to reflect upon that because your heart is not at ease. Right? Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where's the heart?
Sadr.
According to us, you know, there's somebody who told me that there is a heart also in the brain. I don't know what he's talking about, but anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قلوب التي في الصدور. So the heart is in the chest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you obey me and you do what I want, Allah says, we will expand your chest. Grant you an easy life. Your heart will have enough space to breathe. You get it? From inside. You will be at ease. You will not get into trouble at all. You will not be depressed in your life. However, if a person doesn't want to agree with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ طَيِّقًا كَأَنَّمَا يَسَّعَدُ طَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَسَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a person refuses to go with the Sharia of Allah, Allah says, we will make his chest very compressed, tight. There is not enough space for the heart to breathe, to get it from inside. So it will never be at ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person will be facing difficulties in life. كَأَنَّمَا يَسَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. If you're climbing up, the more up you go, the less possibility of breathing you are going to have. You know, your energy will be reducing. Allah described that person who is staying away from his wahi like this. Allah says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَيْشَةً بَنْكَ. Whoever stays away from my remembrance, we promise him a very difficult and unpleasant life. How is it possible for me to come and tell you something else other than this? Yes, you can start with this first, right? Tell the person the best thing to do to remove all of these things is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Those who believe and their hearts find no way to be tranquil except through the remembrance of Allah. Allah says, only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heart find tranquility. Do you get the idea? So that's how we can contribute to the community to take them out of their depression. you will laugh. Anything that happens to you in this life, if you observe the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ correctly, you have the solution for that. It should be the Allah. Rasulullah ﷺ, he was depressed because of what happens, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to exercise this. No, Jibreel came to him. Coming of Jibreel tells the Prophet ﷺ, don't forget, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. That's more than enough to bring back the Prophet ﷺ to remove any depression from him. Just remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on his side is more than enough. And you Allah, up to date, this is what works. You remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side, if you're doing the right way, is enough to take away the stress from your heart. They said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is abtar. Abtar means the one who will have no progeny or descendants. Allah says, the one who hates you is abtar, not you. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar. The one who hates you will be cut off. They're the one who lost. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have children. Yeah. Although they don't live longer, but he has. Not in the way they are saying. So Sharia is the only way out we have. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Sharia life, right? وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. He says, اِسْتَجِبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. You get the idea. And then we bring some other things, you know, not to be free, be busy. And as I said, in Islam, a Muslim is not free. He always have something to do. May Allah grant us good. Yes, Adam.
The Quran of Musaylimah al-Kadhab is a lot worse than I thought. So did Allah take his aql when he tried to do this? Or is this really the best of his
ability? No, he doesn't have aql, actually.
But this is really like level one
Arabic
self-help.
He doesn't have aql. Seriously, Musaylimah does not have aql.
But didn't he convince
because
like 30,000 people?
Listen, Adam. Because insanity is not only one type. Yeah, he says, تمنيت أن تمسي فقيها مناظرا بدون عناء والجنون فنون. Somebody comes and he says, I want to start studying today, inshallah, early morning, by the evening. I want to become Sheikh Islam ibn Taymiyyah. So the guy who was listening to him, he says, actually, we have different types of junoon. Yeah, sometimes majnoon also smile, right? Does that mean he's not majnoon? A friend of mine, he's still here in UIA, was narrating a story to us, Wallahu Alam, but I'm just narrating the story from him. He said that in the psychiatric, you know, they have a supervisor, right? They have a lot of people there, majaneen. Okay? The supervisor one day came to the place, and he see this majnoon person. He was telling people, halummu ilayya, halummu ilayya, ana rasulullah. He said, come to me, I am the rasulullah. These are majaneen, right? So he doesn't care because this is majnoon. What else do you expect from majnoon? Yeah, he said he is Rasulullah. So this man was like, but then he realized that there is one guy there who is not going. And he was standing there, he was sitting there, looking at them, laughing at them. This supervisor was so happy. He said, oh, at least, alhamdulillah, there is somebody who is not majnoon. I will manage to get somebody out of this place, you know. So this guy was there and the bunch of majaneen. Adam, this one is answering your question, huh? You see, when that majnoon is saying, I'm Rasulullah, all of the rest of the majaneen went to him. He said, come, because I'm Rasulullah. All of the majaneen, they go to him. I think that answered the question, how come 30,000? They're also majaneen. So all of them went to him except one. That guy was so happy that he got one to be released. He called him. He asked him, "You, why didn't you go to him?" So he laughed a lot. He said, how can he claim that he is Rasulullah while I did not send him yet? So who is worse? This guy, at least that one says he is Rasulullah, but this one is claiming that he is Rabbul Alamin. Anyway, so that's the reason why Adam, I said, Musaylimah al-Kadhab was majnoon. Otherwise, nobody will be within his aql and claim to be a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the different types of junoon. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to truth. So whatever you see him saying, you know, that's part of the junoon. Quran and the lies he produced, you know. And subhanallah, they call him Rahman. Do you know that? Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab, they call him Rahman. That's why the Arabs, they told the Prophet ﷺ, we don't know Rahman except the Rahman of Yamama. You see in the ayah, Allah SWT says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ. If you tell them to make sujood for Ar-Rahman, they will say, what is Rahman? Claiming that they don't know, but the scholars said they're lying, they know. Some of them said, we only know one Rahman, which is Rahman of Yamama. They are referring to Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab. Ibn Kathir in the Quran tafsir, he says, Subhanallah, look at the way Allah SWT cast on him the cloth of humiliation until the day of judgment. In the way his name cannot be mentioned and recognized unless if you attach to the name Al-Kadhdhab. Subhanallah. He called himself Rahman, Allah SWT connected with his name Al-Kadhdhab. Whenever you say Musaylima, that means Kadhdhab. The biggest accusation you can call somebody is Anta Musaylima Al-Kadhdhab. That's why somebody told Umar radiallahu anhu after he came out of the bathroom and he was reciting Quran right after that. So this man told him, how come you just lost your wudu and you're reading Quran? Umar said, are you Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said you cannot read Quran unless if you have wudu. Touching the Quran is something else, but reading the Quran is okay, except for the jinn. Subhanakallahumma. Do you have questions? Two. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalam.
What is best as an advice for someone who gets answers or comment in a negative manner for some matter? Should she be patient or should she move on for the benefit of the person?
What is that?
What is the best advice for someone who gets an answer and comment in a negative manner? Should she be patient or move on?
Yes, should be patient. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, idfa billati hiya ahsan. Always reply with the best. Sabr, and also reply with the best. Don't take revenge, you know.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. How should a sister after finishing iddah communicate with her ex-spouse? Is he considered non-mahram and she needs to remember he is non-mahram?
Yes. Both of them now become strangers to each other. Somebody divorced his wife, right? And she finished the iddah, right? Salam.
Yeah.
They're not related in any way. He's just like anybody else in the street. He cannot look at her and she can't look at him. Mm. Both have to lower their gaze. Parenting of?
Co-parenting. So if they have children,
uh-huh.
The father has to be there and the mother has to be there. So how is the best way to balance?
Yeah, no problem. When the child is with the mother, under her custody, right? So you monitor from far distance. She's a stranger to you. It's just like a person that you hire to take care of your child. That's it. You have to observe all the Sharia. You cannot be with her in a room. At all. Yeah. And if she's living with her family, you just go, they send the boy to you. You want to advise him, you want to advise her. That's why a divorce, if it is not necessary, it's not a good option for a person to go. But if it is necessary, then a person should go for it rather than harming the children. You know. I know, rather than harming the wife. A person is harming his wife, so divorce is the best way out if he cannot stop harming her. If there is a way to fix it, especially for the benefit of the kids, because when you have a wife going out of the house, this is the door being opened for the shaitan to take over the responsibility. That's why Shaitan, when one of his workers told him that I caused somebody to do this, big sins they have been telling him, and Shaitan was just ignoring. It's nothing. But when somebody says I caused a person to divorce his wife, Shaitan says to him, "Anta ant," and he put the crown on his head. Divorce in Islam, is it halal? Yes, it's halal. Why Shaitan is very happy with this and he's not happy with those ones? Because trust me, when the mother leaves the house, that might be the beginning of the failure in that house. Especially when she's good. It's just between her and the husband, they have issues, they divorce. That might be the beginning of the failure in that family. If she's bad, it would be good for her to leave so that the children can breathe. If he's bad, it would be good for them to be separated, especially when the custody will be given to her so that the children could be protected. But if they're okay, but they have some issues, you know, between husband and wife, and they end up divorcing each other, yeah, that would be the beginning of failure. So what happened is, the one who will be taking care of the children is one of them. And trust me, giving tarbiyah to a child is a job of both. The best one who does it is the woman, much more than the father, because he's just acting as a supervisor to make sure that things are going in the right way. He has a lot of role to play, but her role is bigger than his. Because the child, especially at the very early age, live with her more than him. Right? That translates why the children disrespect fathers or mothers? Mothers. Because he's always with her. And that mercy is there also, you know. He sees who she is. But the father, he sees him occasionally. Sometimes angry face, he came back with all the stress outside, you know. The child wants to play, he doesn't want to play. You know? Tell the mother to come and pick up her child. Yeah, this is one of the mistakes we are doing. Yeah, when you go home, yeah, your family have right over you. Yeah, keep the job aside. Now it is the family time. Remove your stress. Yeah? Unless if it is too much, then avoid that place. Go and give yourself relief and then come back and live with everyone peacefully. So when you have children at home, but the mother is the only one who is taking care of them, the tarbiyah will be deficient. When you have the father is taking care of them, the tarbiyah will be more deficient. There is a book written by one of them, I got it recently. The name of the book, Ummahatun Rabbayna Uthama. Mothers who produce great leaders. Yeah, Imam Shafi is the product of what? A woman. A lot, but that's when people are doing the right thing. So that's why I'm saying divorce, if it is not necessary, it's not good for the family, it's not good for the community also. Nowadays, the divorce, is it the increase or decrease? Increase. Yeah. Somebody has to think properly. Yeah. And what brought us back is the Sharia, not too much conventional counseling. Iwallah, is the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple things the Prophet ﷺ said about marriages. If we apply it, marriage will last longer. But nobody is willing to go for this. We end up taking from others and we lost. May Allah grant us good. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, whatever question left, we will deal with that in the next class. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.